Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for this new day. Father, we thank you for the fellowship of believers here, Father, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that changes us and transforms us. We thank you that you live your lives inside us and through us. Father, we give you the glory. We pray that you would be with me this morning as I just share thoughts that you've given to me, Father, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was going to tell y'all, I was sharing over here, I spent Saturday in the emergency room with my 12-year-old. Thought he had broken both wrists and an elbow. Very exciting, basketball injury. And then I spent yesterday, most of the day, at the orthopedic doctor, following all that up. Praise the Lord, he does not have anything broken, but he has all kinds of splints and those kind of things. So that was very exciting. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about God's love. And I tell you, I really understood last Friday what it meant to be, just a little taste of what it meant to be loved unconditionally. I got to go to the prison again. Some of you all heard that I've started helping lead a little small group, and Rita goes, a couple of others, to the Dallas Women's Prison. And it's a very tightly run schedule. Selby Harrison, is, you know, her run this, but you have to leave the church at a certain time because you have to get there at a certain time because, I mean, when they eat, and when they allot time for you to do the Bible study, and it's down to the minute. And so I was running a little bit late. Rita's smiling at me. I was running a little bit late getting here because, I mean, at 8:30 you get in the cars and you pull out. And so it was like 8:32, but I got off my cell phone in the school zone, and I was so good, and I knew I was going 30 miles an hour because I didn't want to speed, because right there on Preston, there's always policemen. And so I got down to the church, and I turned in the church, and the whole group, they all pray right in the center, all the women go, and there's, I don't know, 25 women or something. And I pulled into the church, and right, I was about to pull into a parking lot, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was a policeman behind me with his siren, you know, his lights going in the church parking lot as all the women looked up at me. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what? And I was so embarrassed. It was just awful. So here we are. And so Shelby here. So he comes and I'm thinking, what did I do? What did I do? And so I roll in the window. Well, I'm so sorry. What did I do? And Shelby at the same time runs up to the window and says, sir, we are going to the women's prison right now, and we're in a hurry, and could you just do this quickly? She told him what for, and I thought he was going to say, well, I'll just take her to the prison with me. I don't know. So anyway, it turned out my, exception thing had expired. Oh, bummer. But anyway, I truly felt the love of these women, because they really loved on me and smiled, and they didn't condemn me, and, you know, I was okay. They still accepted me, so I was thankful for that. But today, we're going to continue to look in Ephesians, and we are, as you all know in the lesson today, a phenomenal lesson on the Holy Spirit, and you all in your small groups will be talking about building on the basics. But I'm going to take a look at the second half of chapter 3 in Ephesians, starting with verse 14. So if y'all want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14 through 22, we're going to kind of center in on this incredible prayer that Paul prays for the people of Ephesus and all the surrounding churches, and for us as well. Let's read that together. Ephesians 3, 14 through 22 says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And we all say, amen. I really intended to write that out, type that out, and laminate that for y'all just to put somewhere, because it's just such an incredible prayer. I mentioned in December when I was going through a hard time, it is what I memorized. I just memorized it, and I said it over and over and over again, that we might grasp the love of God. So let's just take this and kind of break it apart, and I'm going to try to go quickly through this. But in the very first verses, verse 14 and 15, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." Paul, when it says, "I kneel before the Father," another version says, "I fall on my knees before the Father." And really, the only thing I want to say here, just briefly, is I don't know about you all. Some people do pray, you know, on their knees. But I wish I did. I don't know, it just sounds like a cool thing to do. And when my kids were little, sometimes we would kneel beside the bed and pray with them. But generally, I don't pray that way. But think of the times that I fall on my knees. You know, the times that I fall on my knees are either I'm so overwhelmed with God's glory or just greatness, the times that I have fallen on my knees, or times when I am in such incredible need. I told you the last time I spoke about that boy Jared that almost drowned. I literally was about to throw up watching the whole thing, to be honest. But I fell on my knees by that swimming pool. I was like prostrate on the ground, and we all were just begging God for his life. But the important thing is not the posture of Paul's prayer. The important thing is the physical posture, is the posture of our hearts. That we come to God in fear, in reverence, in awe, to our Father, to our Abba, that we are coming to him in the emotional posture of coming before him and kneeling before him. If we continue on to the next verse, I want to look at four purposes of Paul's prayer. And I'm going to kind of wrap them up. And the thing that you need to think about, and that when I was memorizing this, and I thought about these verses over and over and over again, it's that they're not four separate requests he's making for the people of Ephesus. It's that they build on each other. That one request leads to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And I would summarize them this way. The first is that God might strengthen them with power through the Spirit, so that, which leads them into a deeper walk with Christ. Number two. And a deeper walk with Christ will help them to comprehend or understand God's great love. And number four, from the understanding of that great love, we will experience the love of Christ and be filled to the fullness of God. So let's take a look at those a little bit more in depth. The first, in verse 16, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now, our whole lesson that y'all are going to talk about in your small groups is just about this very thing. He's saying, "I pray that God, from his glorious riches, will strengthen you with power," from what? From his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, first of all, when we come to know Christ, when we accept Christ, when we say, "Yes, Father, forgive me. I love you. I want to follow you." Whether that be when we're 4 or when we're 10 or when we're 25, or maybe like me, you don't know a certain day, but somewhere along the way we came to say, "Yes, Lord." At that point, when God changes our heart or regenerates our heart or makes our heart new, the Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. And our lives are changed, and through the Holy Spirit, Christ dwells in us. But also, there's another part of this Holy Spirit. And if you'll look with me, two verses. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, when you look in the Greek, the word "filled with the Spirit" here is a continual thing. It's not a one-time thing. Yes, he resides in our heart one time. He's always there. The Holy Spirit is there. But it's a continually being filled with the Spirit. It's a daily asking God to fill me with your Spirit today. Help me to be overflowing with your Spirit. Help me to sense your Spirit. Help me to be led by your Spirit. It's a continual thing. And then second, in Galatians 5:25, it says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Meaning, if we live by the Spirit, we're Christians. He lives in us. Then let me daily walk by the Spirit. Last night, I shared with our small group, last night, I went to a baseball game for my older son, Paul, who's 15. These baseball games are an hour and 50 minutes. Come along, but it's fun. Anyway, and so it's a hard, long time to be gone from your younger child. So I set him, you know, he just had all his, all the broken things, and not broken, but pretty beat up. So I sat him down at home and said, okay, he said, I have tons of homework. I said, okay, get on your homework. I'll be home in about 3 hours by the time I go, come back and be home. And okay. So I got home, and how's your homework doing? And he was, I just, I don't know, I couldn't focus, I couldn't do any of it. And I was just like, I mean, it was after, it was like 7:30, and I was just, I mean, I wanted to scream. I screamed before that. But I've been so into this lesson that I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I know that you are here. I mean, this is what I was saying in my head. And then I started saying it out loud, Holy Spirit, you can help me not to scream. And he was just looking at me with his little eyes, you know. And I was like, and Holy Spirit, and I said, Troy, we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, please, help Troy to do his homework. Because I just couldn't sit down with anything. And I said, Troy, I've got to work on my Bible study. I said, that's like mommy's homework. I have homework too, and I'm going to go to my room so I don't scream. And I want the Holy, and we prayed that the Holy Spirit would help us. And really, within 1 hour, he got his homework done. He never came and asked another help. So that is the filling of the Spirit. It's the daily. You know, you're changing diapers. Whatever, y'all know. You know, the times when you need to say, help me, Holy Spirit. And that's okay. You know, we pray to the Father. We pray to the Son. But we truly can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and to help us. Let's see. Jesus was filled and led by the Holy Spirit. He was joyful in all things and wholly yielded to the Father. He demonstrated his life, his sinless life, what it means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. He is our great example. Okay, the second thing, besides the filling of the Holy Spirit, leads us into a depth of relationship with Christ. Let's look at the next verse. I'm going to read 16 and 17 now. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Which still is kind of a mystery to me, but so that. Okay, so he's going to fill us with his Spirit so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Now again, Christ is already dwelling in our hearts if we're believers, if we're Christians. But I think what this is talking about here is that, in fact, there's a little booklet, and Reedy mentioned it, but I had already thought about it this week, a little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home. And maybe some of you read it, or maybe you read it years ago, but if you haven't, I want you to go get it, and I meant to get that too. But it talks about a word picture of our homes being our lives and Christ living in our homes. Dwelling means to live in. Christ living in our lives. And it gives a picture of Christ, us inviting Christ into our life, into our home. Become a Christian. Say, come on in. And we bring him in maybe to our cozy room where we get a fireplace going and there's a real comfy chair. And we sit him down. There's another chair beside him. And then we come, surely on Sundays we come to him. And we talk to him and we pray and we have a communion with him. And we find out about him and he finds out about us. But then maybe we just go on about the rest of the week. We go into the kitchen and we go do our chores and we go everywhere else. And he just kind of sits in the room. And as we go by, maybe we even wave at him. Or maybe we get to the point where every morning, perhaps, or some, we go and we have a little conversation with Christ. And he enjoys his talk, and we get to know him, and he gets to know us. But at some point, he says, Judy, Susan, I can go with you to the kitchen and help you do some chores in there. Or I can even go and help you with the babies, you know. Or I can go to the grocery store with you. Meaning, he wants to indwell all of our lives. Christ is not just somebody we come to when we need something. He's not a magic genie when we come when we have a problem. But he wants to indwell our lives. He wants to make his home in our home and be a part of all that we're involved in. I remember going to the grocery store and thinking, okay, Lord, you're here with me. I mean, it's kind of a random thought. But, you know, he can help us in everything we do. And then he even goes deeper and says, I can help you clean out your closets. And I can get under your bed, you know, those dusty things down there. And I can do it in love. I want to help you dig deep, and I want to show you my love by getting into all areas of your life. That's what it's talking about. Lord, give us the power through your Holy Spirit that we might allow Christ and we might invite Christ to dwell, to live in our hearts. And then it goes on to say, so that we may be rooted and grounded in God's love. So if he comes to live in our hearts and to dwell with us, we begin to be rooted and grounded in God's love. If you think about the two words, rooted and grounded, rooted is like a plant, and without a plant having roots deep into our hearts, a cut flower, for example. I got flowers for Valentine's Day, but right now they're sitting in a vase by my kitchen, and they're just starting to wilt. They don't look too pretty anymore because they weren't rooted and grounded. And then the grounded is talking about an architectural building. And the term in Greek is talking about the foundation of the building. If the building doesn't have a strong foundation, it will crumble and fall. So what he's saying is we need to understand God's love. Okay, I have been pondering this all week, and really for a long time. What does it mean to understand God's love? And we're going to come back to that. I will say, five or six years ago, I've been a Christian since my senior year in high school. That was a long time ago. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I was doing a Bible study called Breaking Free. It's here at this church on Wednesday, and it was by a lady named Beth Moore. And as we began to do this study, and they're talking about what is it that's holding you back from really knowing Christ. And I began to think about that. The one thing that that God so laid on my heart is, God, I don't really feel loved by you. I don't understand unconditional love. And in fact, I don't know how to love. I don't know how to love my kids. I don't know how to love my husband. It was so profound to me that I did not understand love. And I began to pray and ask God to help me understand this love. Today, I ask you with me to begin to pray that we will understand through God's Spirit His love. Some of you heard me say before that my parents were very sort of stoic. I guess you could say they were old-fashioned, but my dad especially, I never, ever heard him say, I love you. And I never got any hug from him or anything like that. I just don't remember that at all. He just was not a huggy person, and he was not a verbal person. And when Doug and I met and we got engaged, he had not met my parents, we flew to Alabama to meet the parents. Melissa's going to these weddings. And we flew in and we met the parents and we went to my parents' house. And my first thing my husband did, my engaged fiance did, is hug my dad. He walked up and he gave him the biggest bear hug. And I could just see my dad just, and oh my gosh, I mean, I was just like horrified with that. And my dad was just horrified with that too. And it was just like the most awful way to meet your in-laws. I don't know. You know, and so, but the amazing thing is that after years and years and years of Doug, because I told Doug, oh, don't do that. And he goes, no, I'm going to do that. And so now my dad just hugs my husband back. He hugs me. He hugs our grandkids. I don't think he probably hugs his men friends or anything. But he does hug my husband. And it's the sweetest thing. And he says, I love you. And he still hugs one. But I'll talk to him on the phone. And he'll say, I love you, Dad. And you can say, okay, bye. And now he says, I love you. And anyway, that is the beginning of an understanding of love. Doug's parents, as an aside, and some of you have heard me say, hugged and hugged and hugged, where I was the one going, oh. So it took me a long time to understand that side. The third thing that I want you to understand, besides the filling of the Holy Spirit and the depth of God indwelling our life, is the comprehension of the immensity of God's love. Let's start with verse 16 again. It says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then, number 3, I pray that you are being rooted and established in love. Here we go. May have the power to comprehend, together with all the saints, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. Okay, so he's saying you're going to be rooted and grounded in this love as Christ dwells. But then I want you to comprehend how amazing, how deep, how wide, how long, how vast this love is. I had an experience this week of really I mean, it was so cool understanding what it means to be just loved by so many people. I joined Facebook. Y'all joined Facebook? It is so cool. I mean, all these people want to be your friend. I mean, people in high school that wouldn't be my friend then want to be my friend now. And I mean, it was just somebody asked me to do it, and now that's why, you know, I didn't have the lesson done last night, because I spent hours on Facebook. And I had, you know, I saw all these friends from high school, and, you know, if you haven't done it, they ask you want to be your friend. And I mean, people just, I wish it was that easy. Like in high school, can I be my friend? Sure. But anyway, so then I came home, and my daughter, my 18-year-old senior in high school, looked over my shoulder, and she's like, Mom, you did not join Facebook. And I was like, yes. And she said, Mom, you are too old to be on Facebook. She was really horrified. And I said, well, you know, somebody asked me to do it, so I did it. And I said, Delaney, I have 14 friends. And she's like, Mom, I have 679 friends. And so she sort of blew my mind, because I was feeling the love. But anyway, it wasn't quite so love. But I'm teasing you, because obviously this is not where we feel love. Love is much deeper than that. And God is trying to get us to comprehend the depth, the width of His love. Now, I told you that 5 or 6 years ago, when I was doing that Bible study, I mean, I was weeping. It was like the Holy Spirit moving to say, I don't understand love. And I began to ask God to help. I just, a prayer. Father, help me to understand this love. I don't understand it. And it began a work in my life where God began to help me to understand this love by many ways. But He began to help me see areas where I thought I had forgiven my parents for things they had done and, you know, well, anyway, things they hadn't done, but just things I didn't understand. Love I didn't feel from them. But He began to show me that I hadn't completely forgiven them. And He helped me to forgive them for the lack of ability really to love me that they had. I'm not even tearing. He helped me to begin to confess sins that I had that were deep rooted in my life, really sins of pride and control, because I think to go against this lack of feeling of love, I had learned to, you know, put on a show and just control everything and pride and, I don't know, all kinds of other things that had been wrought in my heart through this. And He helped me to begin to confess those sins. And He helped me to learn to serve and to love people. And one of the biggest things is I had been loved very conditionally. If I did the right things, then I felt love for my parents. And if I didn't, then I didn't. But I began to see that with my children and with my husband, I just needed to love them just for who they were. Not for what they did or what they said or what they didn't do, but just because God loved me unconditionally. Not because I had earned it or done anything. And God began to open up to me an understanding of His love. I pray that you all will pray that for yourself. Okay. The next thing in the scripture is that we will experience the love of God. First, that we'll comprehend it. And next, that we will experience it. It says, verse 16 again, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through your spirit. So number one, you're strengthened with power through the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, not just hang out in your living room, but dwell in all of your life, in your inner being, through faith. And I pray that you will be rooted and established in love, and you may have power with all the saints to grasp, to comprehend how wide, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. And here's our next point. And to know, which in Greek means to experience the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, what does it mean to experience God's love? Sometimes I put that with a feeling, and I think there, you know, we know we're loved. We can know we're loved here, but there is a part of it that is a feeling loved. And not that we're always going to feel this ushy-gushy thing, but there are times that we feel God's love. I thought about, where do I feel that love? A lot of times, like on a mountaintop, you're on vacation, you're in nature, I feel God's love. Or sometimes in a worship service, you know, when you just feel the Spirit moving. And there's a variety of places that you feel that love. But last Friday, when I got to go to the prison, the Dallas Women's Prison, I got to sit by a new lady this week, and her name is Rebecca. And I sat by Rebecca, and they told us this week in the prison it was so cold. Y'all think it's cold in here? It was a lot colder in there. It was so cold. And I asked several of the women, why was it so cold? Was it always this cold? And they said, yes, that they kept it cold because if they didn't, remember, they're in this room about the size of the room we're in and about as many women as were here. And if we all just lived here all the time and we never left each other and we never went anywhere else, they start having a lot of fights, not only verbal fights but physical fights. And they keep it cold so that they'll stay in their beds under their covers and not interact with one another because it's easier for the warden. And also, it's a financial burden to put turtle in the heat. But it's a very dire place, and they're having a chickenpox outbreak last week. And they have 20 women that have chickenpox, and they're separated out now. But it's a very dreary, awful, sad place in there. I mean, it is really hard, a hard place to be. But as I talked to Rebecca, who was sitting beside me, she said, Linda, I feel like I am at a Christian summer camp for privileged kids. She said, I mean, I cannot believe that I get to study God's Word all day long. I've never studied God's Word. And I feel the love of God like I've never felt in my whole life right here in this room. And I thought, that's what it means to know God's love. That in the middle of suffering, now let me tell you, I told you about the mountaintop, I feel God's love. I told you about in nature and worship. But one of the biggest times I ever felt God's love was in one of the biggest trials I ever went through with Troy and other trials. Because when you're so surrounded by God's love and the people of God, you can feel that love. And so in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our hard times, in the midst of our lives, we can experience that love. Now, one of the other ladies at our same table goes, well, I feel like I'm in hell in here. So it was quite a, you know, one was feeling the love of God and the other was not. So help us, Lord, to experience your love. Okay. The third thing, those are the four things that I think Paul is praying, the four requests. Last, and I wish I could spend a whole lesson on this, but is the promise of Paul's prayer. And I just said a power inexhaustible. Verse 20 says, now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ through all generations forever and ever. And we all say, amen. On your paper there in front of you, I kind of laid this out and I read the neatest thing about this and I wish I could spend more time on it. But it's talking about the process here. God is able to do all. He can do anything. There is not one thing that we ask God that he is not able to do. He is able to do all. That is everything. Not only is he able to do all, he is able to do above all. Meaning sometimes we might ask for something, but he knows even more what we really need or want. He's able to do above all that we would ask him for. He's able to do abundantly above all. In fact, sometimes he begins to change what we want. He begins to show us that what we are asking, this all, is maybe different than even what he has in mind. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Paul is using every adjective he can think of to describe what Christ can do. Now, I want to just end by a quick little story. This week, when I was doing this lesson earlier this week, I, as you all know, I play on the tennis team. And every year, we're about to start our season, so y'all are going to get to hear my tennis woes. But every year, we have this big tournament to kick off. I'm looking for my tennis friend. Where is she? She's not here. There's a big tennis tournament to kick off the tennis season. And it's a play day. It's like a fun day. They have prizes and all this stuff. And so you get with your whole team, and we have like 11 people on our team, and you ask, hey, do you want to play tennis with me at the tournament? And I've played in it the last 10 years, I guess. And so I went to the week, 2 weeks before, and I asked this one girl, does she want to play in the tournament? She said, oh, I want to play with Sherry. And I was like, oh, okay, no problem. And so then I asked Laura, does she want to play? Well, she was going to play with so-and-so. And I asked, and I kept asking. I was like, okay. Well, everybody kept saying they were already playing with somebody else, and I thought, well, probably not everybody's. I don't know. So I just didn't try not to think too much about it. And then we got to the day before the tournament. We had practice, and guess what? There's 11 on our team. Guess who didn't have a friend to go to tournament with? And they were all talking about it tomorrow, and they were just, you know, they were oblivious. They had no idea that I was sitting there having a pity party, thinking, okay, no one loves me, and it's okay. And I was really feeling lower than. I mean, I was experiencing this feeling of like junior high, you know, being left out. And so I thought, whatever. And so the next morning I went to carpool and I dropped off my kids. Well, two of the moms go there and I saw them dropping off their kids in their little tennis outfits and I had my sweatpants. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to go to the coffee shop over here and work on my Bible study. So in my pity party way, I went and sat down and I started, you know, reading about the Holy Spirit and so forth. And I tell you, this lesson just began to move me. I don't know about y'all, but I was just like, God, help me to understand your Holy Spirit. And I was praying, fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. I don't understand this, but I know there's some amazing power in this. And I was there for 2.5 hours, and it was just so rich and deep and wonderful. And then that still small voice that I don't hear often, but because I was quiet, I heard God say to me, Linda, I want to use you. And this was, I don't mean to sound like some, you know, Pentecostal person hearing God's voice, but I heard him say that I need you to get rid of your agenda and be willing to serve. And be willing to pour your life out as a love for others. And I want to use you. And I was like, okay, God, that's what I want. That's what I want. And then I was kind of laughed. I was thinking, there's music playing, there's people coming in and out, and I'm communing with the God of the universe in Starbucks. And it was just so cool. I don't know. Something about it was just amazing to me. And then I looked over, and this man was sitting next to me, and he just kind of looked at me and goes, are you reading the Bible? And I was like, yeah. So anyway, I ended up having this cool, there's three conversations I have, and I won't tell you about all of them. I had this cool conversation with this random man about who's the God. This is like literally seconds after I heard this word from the Lord telling me that he's going to use me. And then this other lady walked up because I left my cell phone in the bathroom. And she said, is this anybody's cell phone? It was mine. And then she goes, are you reading the Bible? And had another conversation. And I was like, I was just being filled to the fullness of God to be able to speak about him to people in Starbucks. So I got up to leave and I was walking out and I felt two hands on my shoulders. I literally opened the door and I turned around. There were two ladies I didn't know, I'd never seen before, and they pulled me around, they pulled me over, and they sat me down in this chair. And I was thinking, this is really weird. I was like, yes. And they sat me down, and they said, we feel like God wants us to share something with you. I was like, okay. And so these two women began to tell me their life stories and asked me. They felt like God wanted me to pray for them and with them. And I was like, yes. And they began to tell me that both of their husbands are not believers. In fact, one lady is from a Muslim background. And she became a Christian not too long ago. And I got to hear this incredible testimony of her walk with Christ. But she was asking me to pray that her husband would come to know the Lord. Because he does not walk with the Lord. In fact, he has a hatred for her because she has turned from a Muslim faith. The other lady told me that she's been divorced for 5 years, but that she feels like God wants her to reconcile with her husband. That her husband has a girlfriend, but she feels like God wants her to reconcile, and she felt like God wanted me to pray for her. So I left, I got to pray with them, and I left filled with the fullness of God, saying, Lord, you didn't want me to go to the tennis tournament, you wanted me to go to Starbucks. And that's how he works in our lives. He will lead us. His Holy Spirit will direct us. His Holy Spirit will give us patience when we want to scream at our children or our husbands or whatever. If we ask him to fill us, to use us. I want to add that I wrote this on your paper. It was actually a really long thing, but I summarized it. I'll just end with this. How wide is God's love? It is wider than the sea, wider than the world, wider than the universe. God loved the rich young ruler. He loved the woman caught in adultery. He loved Judas who betrayed him. He loved Herod and the poor, weak, self-seeking Pilate. He loved Nero, Hitler, and Stalin, and wonder of wonders, he loves us too. How long is God's love? When did God start loving us? It has always existed. It is everlasting. When will God stop loving us? If we are disobedient and fall into sin, I added this line, what if we're so tired from changing diapers that we don't even think of Him for many days on end? God will never stop loving us. How deep is God's love? Christ came down from the towering battlements of heaven to the dark recesses of the tomb. He came to be raised as a carpenter's son. He tread the long and lonely road from Galilee to Gethsemane. He was bullied, baited, falsely accused, scourged, and crowned with thorns. He was nailed to a cross and hung up to die, exposed as an object of derision. He was abandoned by God and crushed beneath the weight of the world's sin. How deep is God's love? How high is Christ's love? He has ascended to glory and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is being adulated and adored and worshipped and praised. Will Jesus forget us now that He is on the throne of the universe? No. How deep, how wide, how long, and how high is God's love? Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, I pray that You would help us through the power of Your Spirit to allow You or to have You dwell in our lives more deeply, that we might be rooted and established in Your love, so that we might understand the depth of Your love for us, and that we might comprehend it and experience Your love, Father, so that we might be filled to the fullness of God. We pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.